Here is a company trading at 60 times forward revenue, not 60 times earnings. 60 times every dollar of revenue it expects to collect over the next 12 months. For context, that multiple would have seemed delusional during the peak of the dot-com bubble. And yet, the sophisticated institutional money, the kind that runs spreadsheets for a living, is not running away. It is piling in. Palantir's stock is up more than 40% this year alone, and after their most recent earnings report, analysts are not asking whether the company is overvalued. They are asking something far more interesting. What if the price is exactly right? What if, in a world where artificial intelligence is rapidly becoming a commodity, one company has figured out how to make itself the thing you absolutely cannot replace? And here is the question that will hang over everything we talk about today. Is Palantir's pricing power real, or is it a window that is already closing? Welcome back to Human in the Loop. I'm Morgan Reeves. Today, we're going deep on Palantir, premium AI pricing, and what happens when one software company tries to hold its ground against the entire weight of Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. This matters right now because the earnings report that just landed has forced a reckoning. Either Palantir has built something genuinely irreplaceable, or it is the most sophisticated mirage in enterprise software. And the answer has direct implications for every knowledge worker, every manager, and every founder trying to figure out how to position themselves in an AI market that is moving faster than anyone's ability to price it. Let's go back to the beginning of this particular story. Not Palantir's founding, that is a different episode, but the moment the AI pricing war actually began. For most of the last decade, enterprise software pricing followed a familiar logic. You paid per seat, per user, per license. Salesforce charged you by the user, Workday charged you by the employee. The unit of value was the human being accessing the software. That model worked because the software was a tool that made humans more productive, and you could count the humans. Then large language models arrived and broke the pricing logic entirely. Suddenly, the relevant unit was not a person. It was a token, a tiny fragment of text, a billionth of a conversation. AWS Bedrock charges less than a hundredth of a cent per thousand tokens for some models. Google's Vertex AI competes on similar terms. The race to the bottom on raw AI compute pricing has been ferocious. Bloomberg and others have documented how hyperscalers are now bundling AI capabilities into existing enterprise contracts at near zero marginal cost, using AI as a loss leader to defend their cloud position. In that environment, the natural expectation would be that every AI software company gets squeezed. Margins compress. Pricing power evaporates, the stack collapses toward commodity. And then Palantir reported its numbers. U.S. commercial revenue grew 71% year over year in the first quarter of 2025. The company closed 139 deals worth more than $1 million each in a single quarter. Their top 20 customers averaged $93.9 million in trailing 12-month revenue, up 45% from the prior year. Adjusted operating margins hit 57%. Earnings per share in the most recent quarter came in at 24 cents versus 3 cents the same period a year before, roughly a 700% increase. The company raised its full-year guidance to $4.4 billion in revenue and projected U.S. commercial revenue growing 115% year over year. These are not the numbers of a company watching its pricing power erode. These are the numbers of a company that somehow found a way to charge more as the underlying commodity got cheaper around it. How? Here is the bull case, stated as fairly as I can state it. Palantir is not selling you an AI model. It is selling you the infrastructure that makes an AI model useful inside your specific, chaotic, regulated, litigation-exposed enterprise. The core of this argument rests on something called the ontology layer. And I want to spend a minute here because this is the thing that most coverage gets wrong by skipping over it. An ontology, in Palantir's sense, is a unified data modeling framework. Imagine you are a large hospital network. You have patient records in one system, billing data in another, supply chain information in a third, and compliance logs scattered across a dozen more. Before you can run any AI on top of that, someone has to map all of it into a coherent structure where the same concept, say a patient encounter, means the same thing everywhere. That mapping work is extraordinarily expensive, technically difficult, and deeply embedded in your organization's specific reality. Palantir's Foundry platform does that mapping, and then Palantir's AIP platform, its AI layer, sits on top of it. The key point is this. The ontology is not portable. You cannot lift it out and drop it into AWS Bedrock. You would have to rebuild the entire data model from scratch. That is the switching cost. And it is not theoretical. It is measured in millions of engineering hours and years of institutional knowledge. The AIP platform adds another layer. It lets enterprises run large language models inside their own firewall, not in the public cloud, with full audit trails, provenance tracking, and what Palantir calls human-in-the-loop controls. For the Department of Defense, for a major bank, for a healthcare system subject to HIPAA, that is not a nice-to-have. It is a regulatory requirement. Alex Karp, Palantir's CEO, put it directly on their most recent earnings call. Our AIP is the only platform that lets the world's most regulated enterprises run powerful LLMs behind their own firewalls while keeping a full audit trail. That capability commands a price that reflects the risk mitigation value we deliver, not just the compute we consume. Morgan Stanley analysts put numbers around this argument. In a note published shortly after the earnings release, they wrote that the $1 to $5 million annual AIP contracts appearing in their pipeline are justified because the compliance and integration work Palantir handles would otherwise cost customers $10 to $15 million in internal engineering. At that framing, Palantir is not expensive, it is a discount. Now let's talk about what they are not telling you. The bear case starts with a simple observation. The hyperscalers are not standing still. Microsoft has a deep partnership with OpenAI and is embedding AI capabilities across every Azure service, every Microsoft 365 subscription, every Dynamics contract, all priced at the margin of existing relationships. Sometimes, effectively, free AWS Bedrock gives you access to Anthropic, Meta, and Amazon's own models with consumption-based pricing that can scale down to near nothing for large enterprise relationships. Google is doing the same with Vertex AI and Gemini. Bank of America analysts, in a note published around the same time as the Morgan Stanley piece, raised the concern directly. If hyperscalers start bundling LLMs with existing SaaS contracts at zero marginal cost, Palantir's premium could compress within 12 to 18 months. The key question, Beaufay wrote, is whether Palantir can lock in multi-year contracts before that window closes. Here is the historical analogy I want to draw, because it is almost uncomfortably precise. Think about what happened to enterprise middleware in the early 2000s. Companies like BAE Systems and TIBCO Software built critical integration layers that sat between disparate enterprise applications. They charged enormous premiums for that integration work. The switching costs were real. The data gravity was real. And then IBM and Oracle, the hyperscalers of their era, started bundling middleware capabilities into their broader platform offerings, initially at steep discounts and eventually as part of standard enterprise agreements. BA was acquired by Oracle in 2008. TIBCO struggled for years before going private. The integration layer did not disappear. It got absorbed. The parallel is not perfect. Palantir has something BAA never had. It is profitable, it has a government business that creates non-commercial switching costs, and its product layer is genuinely more complex than what hyperscalers are currently offering. But the structural pressure is the same. A platform sitting between data and AI, charging a premium for integration, facing commoditization pressure from players with far deeper distribution. What's different this time is that the regulatory complexity around AI, particularly in defense and healthcare, may be durable enough to preserve the moat longer than the middleware analogy would suggest. So what does all of this mean for you, the person actually listening to this right now? Let me be specific. because this is where most analysis stops and where I think you actually need to go. If you are a knowledge worker in a heavily regulated industry, healthcare, defense, finance, legal, your company is either already evaluating Palantir or it is going to be soon. The question you need to be asking your leadership is not, should we use AI? It is, who owns the data model? Because whoever builds and owns the data model inside your organization is going to determine which AI tools you can actually use. And at what cost? If your organization lets Palantir build the ontology, you are making a decade-long commitment. That is not necessarily wrong, but it should be a deliberate decision, not a default. If you are in a sales or procurement role at a software company, watch what Palantir is doing with its pricing structure extremely carefully. They have moved from per seat to per project to what is effectively value-based pricing, where the contract price reflects the outcome they are delivering, not the compute they are consuming. That is the direction enterprise AI pricing is heading. And the professionals who understand how to sell and buy on value, rather than unit costs, are going to be dramatically more effective over the next 3 years. If you are a founder or a product leader building in the enterprise AI space, the Palantir playbook reveals something important. The defensible position is not the model. Every model is going to be commoditized. The defensible position is the data layer underneath the model, the governance layer, the compliance infrastructure, the audit trail. If you are building a point solution that sits on top of a commodity LLM without creating real integration depth, you are building on sand. The hyperscalers will undercut you on price within 18 months. And for managers specifically, here is the concrete thing to do this week. Pull up your organization's current AI tool stack and ask one question for each tool. If this vendor tripled their price tomorrow, what would it cost us to replace them? If the answer is not much, you have no strategic dependency and no switching cost, which means you have no negotiating leverage and no protection if the vendor does decide to change terms. If the answer is, it would take 18 months and 10 engineers, that is a strategic dependency that your organization should be mapping and managing deliberately. Palantir is building the second kind of relationship on purpose. Most AI vendors are not. Now, back to the question I opened with. Is Palantir's pricing power real, or is it a window that is already closing? Here is my honest read. It is both, and which one dominates depends on how fast two things happen. First, how quickly can the hyperscalers build genuine on-premise, air-gapped, compliance-grade AI infrastructure that matches what Palantir offers today? Right now, the honest answer is they cannot. AWS Bedrock has no on-premise deployment. Azure's most regulated sector solutions still require public cloud connectivity in most configurations. That gap is real. Second, how quickly can Palantir convert its current pricing power into long-term contractual lock-in? Multi-year deals, deeply embedded ontologies, government relationships that require recertification to exit. The fact that their remaining performance obligation hit $1.34 billion and grew 21% quarter over quarter suggests they are executing on exactly that conversion. The pricing power is real today. The window is real too. Palantir is in a race to make itself permanent before the commodity catches up. Right now, based on the numbers they just reported, they are winning that race. Here is what to hold on to. Palantir's extraordinary multiples are not irrational. They reflect a genuine, measurable switching cost built around data governance, compliance infrastructure, and the ontology layer that no hyperscaler can currently replicate at enterprise depth. The bear case is not wrong either. It is just early. The commoditization pressure is real, and it is coming. What separates Palantir from the BEA Systems cautionary tale is the regulatory complexity of their core markets and the speed at which they are converting premium pricing into long-term contractual commitment. My prediction? Palantir holds its pricing power for at least 3 more years in regulated verticals, but faces meaningful compression in commercial markets without government adjacency. By 2027, and the companies that will be hurt most by what comes next are not Palantir's customers. They are the point solution AI vendors with no data layer and no compliance moat who are building their businesses on the assumption that the window stays open forever. That's Human in the Loop for today. I'm Morgan Reeves. Stay curious. Stay adaptable.